My son Nathan went to college in near Charlotte, North Carolina. Great school. He had a terrific education, and I was very proud of him. But you know, there was a bonus here, because whenever my wife and I went to visit him for his school, we got a chance to enjoy some North Carolina barbecue. And that is something awesome. It was a win-win, you might say, for everybody. Now, I love barbecue, and North Carolina is a big state known for its barbecue. There are a lot of places that sell it. So I had to come up with a plan to maximize my barbecue eating experience. This is what I did. I'd go around and ask people. I'd say, especially people from the area, where's the place that you most like to go eat barbecue? And I'd go to all the places that I could that were recommended. Now, I've been to some nice fancy restaurants where they had the cloth napkins and the fine china. And I've also gone to some good places where they have the takeout window. They hand you the styrofoam container and that bag with the greasy stains on the bottom. I've had some okay barbecue, and I've had some truly amazing barbecue. And it's usually easy to know what I'm going to get when somebody talks about it and they talk it up. Oh, you got to try so-and-so, they'd say. It is so good. Well, we've been looking at several different pathways to grow closer to Jesus Christ. In particular, we're looking at five pathways that can help us grow in our faith and have greater joy in our days and the assurance of God's blessings. We've talked about serving God through serving others. We've talked about generosity and giving. We've talked about worship and prayer. Now, I'll give you a little hint of what's to come. Next week, we're going to wind up our series and talking about the being able to be in a small group with other people, how that helps us grow. When we can tell our stories and hear the stories of others, we can ask questions, and we can find the encouragement that comes from others who are also trying to follow Jesus. But today, what we're going to talk about today? Well, today we're going to talk about the pathway of liking and sharing. What is that, you ask? Well, I'm glad you asked. I'm borrowing the idea from Facebook. On the Facebook website, you have the chance to see what your Facebook friends are doing and thinking. Somebody posts a link to an interesting article or item in the news. Somebody offers a link to a funny cat video or pictures of their grandchildren. Still another person comments on a recent trip to the movies or an update on something happening in their lives. It's all there on the Facebook page. And when you see something that pops up, you can look at it and move on, or you can interact with it. Underneath each item that pops up, you can click on the word like, or comment, or share. When you click on like, it gets recorded along with your name so that everyone can see you liked that item. It's sort of an electronic nod of approval, a thumbs up. If you click on comment, you can write something that other people can read. If you click on share, then that item gets shared with all your Facebook friends, and it gets spread around much farther. So why the title of this sermon today? Well, so often in preacher speak, it's a metaphor, see? When you are interested in something you come across in Facebook, you have a natural and easy way to show your interest with other people, to spread it around. You can show your interest when you click like or when you click share. But what about our faith? When you and I consider what God has done for us, the ways that God's love is made available to us in Jesus Christ, it seems only natural that we would want to spread that abroad, to like and share with others. As followers of Jesus, we wouldn't want to keep such things to ourselves. We would naturally want other people to hear about it and to receive it also. So here's the idea for today. Disciples grow in their faith as they like and share what God is doing in their lives with other people. Whenever you have tasted really good barbecue, whenever you've received outstanding service in a restaurant, whenever you've enjoyed a movie or read a book that you just couldn't put down, you couldn't help but share your experience with others. So when it comes to our experience of God's love and grace, we'll want to share that with others also. When we've received healing for our hurts and hope for our days and blessings upon blessings, the most natural thing for us to do is to tell others and invite them to have that experience also. One of the pathways for growing in our discipleship is sharing our faith with others. Now, I like one of the scripture lessons, how it's put, one we heard a few moments ago. In 1 Peter, we read, "Always be prepared to give an answer to everyone who asks you to give the reason for the hope that's within you, and do this with gentleness and respect." So the writer here is telling his readers to be ready to give an account of the faith they have. If someone were to stop you and ask you why you seem to have such hope within you, don't leave them wondering. Tell them. Now, we don't have to explain all we believe. We don't have to know everything there's been written in the Bible. We don't have to understand Christian theology from A to Z. You don't have to have it all figured out. But each of us can be ready to share something about what it means to be a follower of Jesus. We can share from our own experience and use our own words. We can be gentle and respectful in doing so. And you know what? That can be very helpful for others to hear. They may be looking for just what it is that we have to share. I think sometimes we make this seem much harder than it really needs to be. Each of us can be ready to like and share what we know through our own experience of God's love and forgiveness, from what we've experienced of God's healing power and God's abiding hope. If ever there was a day when disciples could expect seekers to come to them on their own, that day is probably over. If ever there was a day when believers could simply open up the doors of a church and expect people to come flooding in, that day is probably gone. To have a word worth listening to in a busy and noisy world means that we need to speak up, that we need to go where people are. And we have to have a word that is truly worth sharing. When there's so much division and strife and ugliness between people today, you know what? We can hold up a more excellent way, the way of love. That is the way that Jesus modeled for us and the way he invites us to take up and follow in our lives today. And you know what? People are looking for good news. People genuinely are longing for something they can trust, for a friendship that has significance, for a sense of belonging to something larger. They're looking for meaning and significance. When the world seems so cold and indifferent, you know what? We have something truly wonderful to offer. If you've ever wanted to know a simple, memorable way to tell others about Jesus, here's a suggestion. Don't worry, I'm going to keep it very simple. 3 things each of us can do: pray, invest, and invite. Prayer is the first. It's essential when it comes to telling others about God's love. If you want to tell others the good news, you can start by praying for them. It's safe to say that for everyone who's ever come to Christ, there has been somebody in that person's life who has been praying for them beforehand. Whether that person ever knew it or not, there's most likely somebody who's been busy praying that that person would come to know Christ long before they ever made that decision. Maybe it's a member of the family. Maybe it's a godparent. Maybe it's a friend. Maybe it's a Sunday school teacher. I bet there's been somebody praying for each and every person, and those prayers help that person come to the place where they could say yes to God for themselves. I think that's probably a good thing for us to be doing as we're going through confirmation and those young people who are getting ready to make a decision publicly about their faith, to be praying for them and praying that this could be a rich and enlivening experience. So think about it. Are you praying for someone to come to know Christ? If the answer is no, or not right now, then now is the perfect time to get started. We can pray for our friends. We can pray for the people with whom we work. We can pray for the people in our families and the neighbor across the street. Each of us could pray for at least one of our friends that they may come to know what God is doing in their lives, that God loves them and has a plan for them, and that God can bring them hope and meaning and abundant life. We can pray for others on our own. Nobody else needs to know about our praying. We can kind of do it quietly and secretly, but it can make a big difference. That's the first thing that you and I can do. We can pray for others. Here's the second thing. We can invest our time in the lives of other people, invest ourselves in relationships. It's been said that in our day, the greatest mission field we face is not in some far-off land. It's not even across an ocean. It's barely across the street. George Barna, who looks at the religious scene in America today, says there's two things that we can say with pretty near confidence, pretty complete confidence, about the people that are not currently involved in any church. The first thing we can say is it's not hard to find them. They're all around us. They're people that we already know, people standing in line with you at the grocery store, especially on a day before big snow comes. They're also the people driving in cars next to you on the highway, the people who might be literally living right across the street. It's not hard to find people who are not currently involved in any church. But he goes on to say there's a second thing that we could say with great confidence, and that is that most people are interested in talking about spiritual things. Just think about it. In films and in music, in books, all over the popular culture, we see people that are interested in spiritual things. Just this week, I was sitting in Starbucks and overheard a conversation between some folks about what they think happens after you die. All around us, people are looking for something that has some larger meaning and purpose beyond the ordinary, what we see each day. Now, Jesus was always putting himself where people were. He didn't spend all his time in the temple and synagogue. He didn't set up shop someplace and then wait for people to come to him. No, instead he went where people worked, where they lived, where they spent their time. Jesus deliberately put himself in places where people were, and then he offered them a way to connect with God. We can follow this example and be intentional about being with other people. We can be there for those who are going through some challenges and need some encouragement. We can be there for those who are hurting and long to hear a word of reassurance. We can invest our time and our energy into building relationships with other people. In doing so, we're doing what Jesus did. Invest our time in building relationships with others, the people at work, people living in our neighborhood, maybe even members of our own family. Go where they are, listen, find out what's important to them, what excites them, what challenges them. Get to know their dreams, their fears, their passions. Become their friends. In short, we can invest ourselves in a relationship with others. And then that brings us to the third thing. We can invite others. After we've prayed for others and invested ourselves in getting to know them, we can do one more thing. We can invite them to know Jesus Christ also. We can share a bit of our story and then simply invite others to see that God has plans for them as well. Now, sharing faith, sometimes we make this complicated and we feel like it's a big task to do. But you know, when we share our faith, we don't have to have all the answers. We all have questions. There's no need to feel you have to have all the answers in order to tell others about Jesus. Faith doesn't require that we know all the answers. It simply requires that we know the one who does. The heart of telling others about Jesus Christ really doesn't have to be complicated or difficult. We're simply telling others about the hope and the joy and the peace that comes when we say yes to God, when we let God live in us. If we just invite people to get to know Jesus, Jesus will do the rest. It can start with something as simple as an invitation to come to church on Sunday morning. Hey, tell folks that we have donuts here every Sunday. That makes people pretty happy. And also that they can meet some pretty friendly people here. Maybe invite somebody to be involved with the blood drive this week or a yoga class or any number of other things that Calvary Church is doing. That can open the door for some pretty wonderful things to follow. So here's three things we can do. First, pray for others, especially those you know who are facing some difficulties or going through a tough time. Second, invest yourselves in the lives of others. Put yourself where people are and be willing to build relationships. Show others what it is to be taken seriously and to be cared for unconditionally. And third, invite your friends and others to church. Don't be afraid that they will reject you or think less of you. And if they say no thanks, guess what? That's perfectly okay. But don't miss the opportunity to share with them something great simply because you didn't have the nerve to speak up. The power of God produces some wonderful changes in the hearts and minds of people, changing them forever. We're not to hide our light under a bushel basket where nobody can see it. Instead, God is relying on us to like and share the message of love and grace and hope. It's simply too good to keep to ourselves. May we be bold enough and faithful enough to tell others about Jesus and the hope and joy and meaning he brings, for he is so very good. Amen.